Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And we have George Dixon with us tonight. And he's going to be talking about a number of things he's got in line, mind calendar. I think we're going to talk about the Polish shift as well and a bunch of other stuff. So I'm going to put...
George is right there.
Hey, George, you with us?
How you doing, folks? Good evening.
Hey, George.
We're fine. How are you this evening?
I everything is fine here. The weather is starting to dip down a little chillier now.
Oh yeah.
So the fall is finally come.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have very much of a summer, but I guess we're just gonna go right into fall and winter.
I enjoyed it. It was a great summer for me.
Yeah.
Well, weather-wise, I could have done with more sunshine. I like the heat.
Beggars can't be choosy. I took what we got, and I have no complaints. It was a good summer.
Oh, good.
So where are we at it tonight, George? I know you had a couple of topics you wanted to discuss.
Well, I'd like to have people go and listen to Drumbelow Melchizedek's latest series of videos. And what it was an explanation of the conference that he put together with the Mayan elders down in Central America.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's 14 different segments of about 9-10 minutes each. But it's called The Maya of Eternal Time, 2009.
Uh-huh.
And it was a time of gathering for quite a few of the indigenous people here in the Americas.
Right. I'm going to try to check that out. I got some of that stuff bookmarked here. I'll see.
So what was it called, George? What was the title of it?
The Maya of Eternal Time.
The Maya of Eternal Time. And this was like a summit for the indigenous peoples? Like, were there American Indians there?
That's correct. And that was held, I believe, in August or July.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there was an internet conference a couple of weeks ago. They were going to go into detail on how the trip went. I wasn't able to listen to it, but the last couple of days I checked out YouTube, and
mm-hmm.
apparently they have it on there now. And it's some great materials. It really is.
I'm into stuff I haven't seen. I don't see his new stuff here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ancient Secrets.
29 videos, it says.
Yeah, I'm just going to go look and see what he's got. Are they kind of in order? I remember they were kind of all screwed up there for a while.
Leo, just put in on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm in YouTube now. I'm looking at his stuff, but it doesn't have anything to do with Mayans. Just says indigenous natives speak prophecy elders.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 years ago, so that's not right.
Yeah.
You'd have to go into YouTube.
YouTube, yes. You go right into YouTube and, in the subject inquiry box, just put in the Maya of Eternal Time, and that should bring it up. It was only, it's
Probably
only been in there a couple of weeks.
Maya of Eternal Time?
That's correct.
Okay.
So, was this by invitation that people went to this summit in
Yes, it was. It was. Mm-hmm. And I believe that happened over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the first time the Mayan elders have talked about 2012.
Really?
We're talking about from the Mayans themselves, yes.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Well, yes. I got one here. I've got the page. I know it would. Wow, he's got the. Yeah, he got a ton of them. I don't know, just so our listeners might, I don't know, do you want me to put something on here, or?
No, I don't think so, other than when you have some time, it would be, it's some good material to review, and also the listeners out there who do follow Drumbelow's work,
okay.
like myself, is, I think, the latest information that, he's brought together, and it's some great materials, but it's all following... the Mayan line. And like I was saying before, this is the first time that the Maya themselves has spoken up. and gave Drumbelow permission to release some of the prophecies or the predictions on what we are to experience.
So can you share some of the stuff that you learned right now that you didn't know before?
Well, I think Drumbelow gets into a little bit of the history, I think, of the Mayans, which goes back thousands and thousands of years. And understanding the crystal skulls. We've talked about that over the years.
Mm-hmm.
The crystal skulls actually is information that the grandmothers have been able to keep over thousands of years. And what it is that the grandmothers group would pick one elder, and they would pick one individual a person and train that person in all the knowledge of the Mayans of what's happened for a thousand-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meanwhile, during this thousand-year period, a shaman would start carving the crystal stone out into the shape of the skull. And there is a ceremony that the grandmother and the shaman who is primed for this position, what they do is that they leave their bodies and they enter the skulls. Now, this has been a tradition with the Mayans going back for the last 13,000 years, and I'm sure before that. This 13,000-year segment that we are in the progression of possession of the equinox, it is a time of opening the skulls or releasing the information in the skulls. And now is a time for that to happen.
So what happened when these two individuals went, gone out of their body and went into this crystal skull?
Yes.
Did they gain knowledge by doing that? Is that what the object was?
Well, let me slow down a little bit here and explain something about crystals.
Okay.
Crystals, basically, it stores information.
Mm-hmm.
And
just like on our computer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, it is part of that silicone life form or connections that we made with the outside world. But what they were able to do was that entity or that soul, when it left its body, it would stay here in the earth in the three-dimensional plane, and its soul or its energy would enter into that crystal. And the crystal, what it does is it would hold that information and it would amplify it. So it's what it would do is it would take energy, amplify it, and then release it at another time if need be. So what was to happen is that in this period now, all the entities that have been in these 13 crystals are going to be released and into this reality now. And of course, there are shaman, there are people now who are willing to take on the bodies of the souls of these entities that are in the crystals. And it's like walk-ins, but you have walkouts where people, they've given permission for this to happen. And what they do is they walk out of their bodies, and another entity or soul would go right into their bodies, and they would continue on the third-dimensional level.
Now, when they walk out, where do they go?
They go into the body.
No, I mean if they go into the body, where does the guy that's already in the body go?
Well, it would probably go off into the afterlife.
Oh. All right. Is it forever, or is it for? What do they do?
Leo, I don't know. I really don't know, the mechanics behind that. I'm sure I know on some level, but, I really can't explain it. But I think years ago, when I was studying Carlos Castellanos, Don Juan series, mm-hmm. you remember him?
Yep, I do.
Yeah. Don Juan was drawing his knowledge and information from the Toltecs. And what the Toltecs did is that they took their soul and they would put it in the ground. And they could stay in the ground for hundreds of years, then come out and live, you know, among the normal people.
Well, they took, how did they put their souls in the ground?
Well, a lot of them, they never made it up again, if you'd want to call it that, to relive life or live back in life again. They just died in a grave. I don't know the formation of that. But other than, you know, I've heard it said before that that people and entities have been able to, you know, put their essence into something physical, and there it would stay. Until it's retrieved or moved or so forth. So, you know, in the sake of these crystal skulls, it's like a normal crystal that you could feed energy into it and take energy out of it. Then after you take the energy out, you can cleanse the crystal and reload it again with other information. But we have that type of corporal understanding in this third dimension, you know, for the Earth itself, that we can do that, and it is part of the procedures that the Mayans use to retain information or knowledge of the times and pass it on to the elders or to the future generations.
How would they release them? How would they gain that knowledge again?
Well, it's by the shaman who leave the crystal. They would be able to tell you the history, of the knowledge as they knew it within their 1,000-year time span.
All right. I was just curious how they got in and got out, and how did they put that energy into the crystal?
It's through ceremony, Leo.
Yeah.
It's through ceremony, just like people have amulets. That these amulets are charged with thought forms or feelings, and they're able to retrieve those properties, you know, at will,
right.
By tapping into it.
Yeah.
But if nothing. What Drumbelow was saying is that it is a time where the Mayans, the knowledge of the Mayans, will all come together, and that's this last 13-year experience in the progression of the equinox that we are to experience.
Okay, let me ask you this then: is it kind of like an external hard drive where you? You know, you just put you download everything into this and just keep it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get a chance to use it again.
Yes. Yes.
Are they actually absorbing the souls of people, or are they actually absorbing the just information? Is it a massive computer hard drive?
Well, it's just the energy, Leo.
So they're absorbing the energy.
The energy, with the energy itself, you know, it follows certain patterns. And, you know, those different patterns make you up who you are.
Yeah. I'm kind of lost only in the logical sense of this thing, because I don't understand how they... Well, I'm trying to think of how they, you know, through ceremony, you say, but, I mean, what is it, 1, 2, 10, 150 guys go into this crystal before they die, or after they die, or something, or what?
No. It's one individual.
One individual.
Leo. One individual and the grandmother who actually follows the entity or goes with the entity, is the caretaker for the entity.
Now,
the grandmother?
Yes.
Now, are then people allowed to come and ask them questions, or is that how there's teaching that takes place?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be that type of a situation, you know, when these people come out or come back to this reality and what their purpose will be. I'm sure it would be, you know, with the people themselves, the indigenous people that they belong to.
Right.
But I think if nothing else, they're going to be reporting on this time span that we've experienced in the last 13,000 years and how it will lead us now, it will end this period, and it will lead us into a new understanding of reality from a higher level of awareness. So if nothing else, it's putting to bed or completing, let's say, the knowledge or the experiences that we've experienced as a human race, and that it's just the ending of one and starting of a new.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I'm kind of lost, George, to tell you the truth. I'm just trying to imagine how they're getting the souls into this thing and suspending them for a thousand years, and then all of a sudden waving a wand over the crystal and then it comes out again. Is that essentially waving a wand and a crystal
over a crystal?
Well, you know, it's a crystal skull, right?
I
mean,
that's
so
right.
What they're doing is does this thing like come out itself, or do they do a ceremony over it or something?
All right, Leo, let's
how does the energy come out of the skull? I don't even know how it got into the skull, but how does it come out of the skull?
It's drawn out of the skull.
Oh, through another ceremony? Or
that's right, through another ceremony. Mm-hmm.
Through another ceremony.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have to have something to activate it. You know, it's like a telephone or a computer. You know, the information is inside, swirling in crystals.
Right.
And what you got to do is give them a gate or open it up and let that information out. Then that information you can follow through or funnel through, you know, telephone lines if you'd want to, where you would be able to connect with the receiver.
That's what I was wondering. It's a ceremony again. But it's okay. I'm sorry, George. Go ahead.
But with crystals, you know, certain crystals have resonate different frequencies. And with a crystal skull, a quartz crystal skull, it would resonate those frequencies, finite frequencies, that are beyond our comprehension at this point, you know, on the third dimensional level. It's a matter of tapping into it and drawing the information from it. Just like healers using crystals, you know, they'll use different crystals because they all vibrate on different levels, and with a quartz crystal, you have a large part of the spectrum that it can resonate with, and that's, you know, possibly one of the reasons why they use the quartz crystal instead of, let's say, a diamond crystal. I'm not sure, but yeah, crystals in understanding. Our evolution, we have reached a point where in the last 150 years or so forth, we were able to tap into crystals and communicate with it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if nothing else, we've gone past the infancy understanding of crystals and using crystals. And in the last 20 years or so forth, we've integrated that into computers. And, you know, we've just integrated more of a crystals into our life that what we have done is that our consciousness, consciously and subconsciously, has tapped into that energy force or that energy connection. and are able to communicate.
Excuse me. Yeah, I can understand. So
I didn't want to get all carried off on a tangent here.
No, I was just curious. So where is this thing going to go, George? I mean, when's this going to happen? Do you have any idea?
Well, you know, if nothing, it could happen in the next couple of months. And I'd say before the sixth night begins, that's in November of this year, that I think this ceremony is going to be taking place before then.
Did they discuss this? Did John Velo discuss this?
Some of that, yes.
Mm-hmm. What was discussed, yeah. So what else did they discuss in that in some of his work in some of his stuff there in the conference?
Yes, well, I was kind of concerned, I think, with the pole shift and actually what they experienced and what the Mayans had to say about it. And the Mayan elders do say that there is a pole shift, that we will experience a pole shift. And that could happen at any time.
And what's going to happen? Did they explain, or did they try to explain, or I mean, what will happen to us? What will the effect be?
Well, Drumbelow didn't go into detail with that, other than talking about the magnetic changes that the Earth, but also people experienced. And, you know, we've talked about that what happened is that it cut us off from the outside world, and we went into a state of polarity consciousness.
All right.
So we were closed off from the outside world.
So when this shift occurs, it's going to realign us, or what?
Well, the pole itself is going to realign, but I think the actual event is going to cause some havoc, you know, with our electronics, you know, with crystals, but also with electronics, and also with ourselves too. And the Mayans, they experienced going through this change, and that was the last change. I think it was 9772 BC. And it caused havoc, I think, with the people, and that's where the question could be raised, but how they able to get through that without losing complete memory, and apparently they kept their memory and they kept their sanity.
Now, these crystal skulls, this information goes back 13,000 years that are buried in there?
Well, these skulls now that they're focused in on is 13 skulls from the last 13,000 years.
Oh.
And that was at the start of this procession of the equinox.
Right. So it's every 1,000 years there's another skull? Is that what you're saying? Or?
I'm sorry, what?
Are all these skulls done at the same time, or every 1,000 years? Or?
No, every 1,000 years, Leo.
So every 1,000 years, there's another soul that goes into one of these skulls and retains.
That's all. Right. It's like the information from is stored in these crystals, but the information is only a thousand year segment.
See. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But
so,
you know it. What the Mayans were saying is that when the pole shift does occur, that it's going to be offset by about 16 degrees. And I think Edgar Cayce was another person who talked about the pole shifts at this time.
So what does that mean to us, that 16 degrees?
Well, the last pole shift, the North Pole was in Hudson Bay area, just north of the Hudson Bay.
Yeah, you're losing me, George. What do you mean? I mean, it's the North Pole is changing all this time. Is that what you're saying?
It's the Earth itself.
Right.
The North Pole. The magnetic pole will shift.
Right.
And then eventually the Earth itself will shift.
Hmm. Okay. So it's just 16 degrees.
That's right.
Okay. I didn't understand. How is that going to affect our polarity as individuals? We're bipolar at this point. Will that make us polarized, or what? I mean, will it make us...
No. What it will do, Leo, is like the... now it's a fact that the gravity of the Earth is depleting. It's lesser. It's less.
Right.
And what will happen is that this shift, or this magnetic shift, will take place in a matter of 24 to 30 hours. And what would happen is the Earth itself will stop. And then it's going to rotate in the opposite direction.
Well, that will probably tear the hell out of everything, the plates, the continental plates and whatnot, won't it?
Well, yes and no, Leo, but understand that, you know, it's the magnetics of the Earth that holds everything in check, and even matter itself. If you take away the electromagnetics, let's say of matter, what you have is more of a flowing matter, or it's not solid. What it does is that it's not lined up with either or, a south or a north pole of a magnetic field. So you become liquid, and what would happen is that the outer skin of the Earth, the mantle, will actually shift or slide over, let's say, the heavier mantle inside, which is liquid, which would be liquid to begin with. It's because of the magnetics, there's nothing holding it, and it's in a liquid state.
Okay.
Things change, when you take the electricity or electric away from things. And with matter, what it does is it gives it formation.
So without it, without the electricity, then it has no form.
Well, it's like in a void state. The Mayans talk about during this 24 to 30 hour time,
right,
that everything would go black, and where you wouldn't be able to see stars in the skies.
Hmm.
Now, it's kind of hard to understand, how that could be.
Yeah, I don't understand that, only because how could they? I mean, there'd still be an atmosphere. There'd still be. I mean, we're just one planet. In the universe,
mm-hmm.
that polar shift isn't affecting everything in the universe. It's just our planet, right?
Well, within the field of the gravity, and I guess the basic influence of gravity we have in our solar system is from the sun.
Well, it makes me recall the Revelation where they say that all the stars will fall from the sky.
Uh-huh.
At that point, all of the universe will simply fold and fall into darkness, and it'll be just darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think Zechariah Sitchin, in one of his books, talks about pole shifts, or the Earth actually stopping in its place, and it was recorded in the Middle East. But it was also recorded in the Americas too.
Really?
And I believe in the Americas it was darkness, and in the Middle East it was light, where they had light for 24 hours compared with darkness.
Wow.
And I don't know if he goes into detail what people experience, you know, during that period of time span.
They say you'll see no, there'll be no stars, there'll be no anything, it'll just be pure black.
Well, I don't know if Zechariah, if the accounts recall that or not. I'd like to check that out because I think with the magnetics that is behind this is going to change it. And if we don't have the magnetics there, how could we see the light? How is the light going to be appearing? So I don't know. I'd have to think about that. But anyways, this is what the Mayans say will happen.
Right.
And then what the Mayans were able to do, I guess, when this happened before, was within the tribe or within their community, they were able to keep the knowledge that they had among themselves.
Right.
Where they really didn't lose it. It was something that they were able to retain. So I think that would be a good thing for us to look at, you know, how they were able to retain knowledge on that level, on a personal level, with a comparison, you know, other forms of getting away from this this event that could befall us.
Right. Okay. So, understanding that, where does that leave us now? As far as you think that information will be released from the skulls in a few months, but where does that leave us at this point as a world? I mean, what are we going to be experiencing in the next few months ourselves as we near the sixth night?
Well, I think what we're experiencing now is the residue left over from this polarity thinking that we've lived, you know, for many thousands of years here. And with polarity thinking, we're closed off from the outside world. It's through going beyond the polarity thinking to a unity consciousness, a unity thinking. And I think that that is the aim of this change that we're going to experience.
Right.
It's, you know, shifting from a polarity consciousness to a unity consciousness. And, you know, it's instead of looking at things as separate or separable from one another, you know, there is a bondage or there is a unity in them being, let's say, complete opposites from one another, but they serve a purpose. And the purpose is a unity purpose. So instead of looking at the bad things and the good things, you know, it's the common good of both of them because they express one another. I don't know. What do you think, Lila?
Well, I was just kind of listening away to what you were saying there, and I'm just kind of pondering. I don't know really what to expect with all this.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read as much on it as you have or Leo, but I look at it this way. We're all going to graduate to a new phase, and like all graduations, you take some of what you take what you've learned to the next phase, and you leave behind what you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see it.
And what happens to the stuff that you leave behind?
Well, just think about what happens to the stuff that you leave behind when you graduate. When you go from elementary school to high school.
Mm-hmm.
You leave the old desks that don't fit you anymore, and you leave physical things that you don't need, and the knowledge that you've been taught is in your head, and you use that to build on for your next learning.
Okay.
And that's how I see it. That you'll be leaving behind that what you don't need, and the things that you do need will be the platform for the next learning or accomplishments. Or,
yes. Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
I was reading the Montauk Book of the Living recently, actually as recent as today, and Peter Moon stuff, the latest book. And he touches on this very much with the, as far as the end times, he talks a lot about that in that book, and how it relates, or how it, what it, what it means. And it, what he says is that the third dimension that we live in now, all right, is void of the, this Shakira, I believe it is, which is the purest form of the feminine energy, which is the, which is what the entire cosmos is made of, and how the.
So that's his opinion.
You know, you're saying opinion, Lila. You haven't read the book, so let
I
me.
I know,
let
but
me, no,
can you
it's
prove it?
His opinion.
Can you prove it?
Yeah. Well, he's that the whole book is developing the proof of this.
Okay.
Right. It's the, you know, it's based on factual finds that they've made, that they know what's going on through history and through, you know, you know, millenniums of research and thought and theology. So, anyway.
Neil?
Yeah.
If I could jump back to what Lila was saying a few minutes ago when I asked her about what do you do once you drop something, just like what she was saying, you leave it behind. You go on to other things.
Oh, she didn't allow me to finish what I was trying to say, right? So
I didn't
suddenly
say anything.
I'm a conspiracy theorist, you know. But it's like what all I was trying to say is in this particular book that Peter wrote, which I found to be fascinating, was that in what he was saying is that the energy, all right, this feminine energy, all right?
Yes.
And I don't mean
just go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
It's the essence of all creation, okay? Is lacking in this in the third dimension. It's been stripped of in this, and what you get is when you don't have this, you have the third dimension. When you do have it, you have the fourth dimension, and the higher dimensions are created from this source. Okay, so what's going to happen in this end time, which is the prophecies of all these end times, is that at the end of the of this period, all right, we will be ascending into a fourth dimensional state, because.
Mm-hmm.
This power, this universal power, the most powerful substance in the universe, okay, is will be coming back, okay, into play. We'll be back in full force in play in taking over this world, all right, as it has the entire universe. This world has, for some reason, been deprived of that essence, all right, for the last thousands and thousands of years.
Well, maybe the usage of the way it was used, but
it's been hammered and squeezed out, because what he's saying is you've taken away the feminine aspect of creation. And the feminine, the matriarchal aspect of all of creation, because and created this patriarchal systems of religion and government and everything that we do, basically. But this male dominated power, male dominated system that we have now that rules the world, right? Is really only been around since the beginning of Judaism, all right, and then it went into Christianity.
Well, if you're saying that before that was it a four dimensional world?
before that, it was pagan-ish. They could pay anything as, and I don't like the connotations that have been flung on paganism because, because all of a sudden you got these four religions that have seemed to take over have taken over the consciousness of mankind and the governing of the entire world.
Well, before we get into religions here, let's keep it.
You're digressing from what we were talking about.
I don't know what the Egyptian culture was like or the Sumerian culture was like, but all I know is that they had female pharaohs, okay, and sun gods and goddesses, and they were highly evolved and highly worshipped.
So they weren't in the third dimension, is what
they
you're
were
saying?
In the no, not really. They ruled basically from the fourth and higher, from the higher dimensions, and from they were given guidance from those areas. They were, in fact, they could have actually been from, if they were from alien cultures, extraterrestrial cultures, right? That really ruled over this planet, and it was then later crushed by the evolution of these patriarchal religions. Right.
Let me try to jump in if I can here.
Okay, go ahead.
Because you're dealing with third dimensional realities, and Lila, when I asked you before, what do you do with the stuff you discard you're not using again? What happens to it? And what happens to it if you stop using something? The thought or the actual piece itself, it disappears to a point where the only thing that's holding it together is a blueprint on a piece of paper or a thought in somebody's mind.
Okay, yeah.
Then after that, if you have nothing that holds the memory of something, it just dissipates itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's understanding that thought in motion actually brings things together, but without the energies or the thought forms that hold that form or that thought together, without the thought, it would just dissolve itself. And that's why the ancients, they knew that in constructing anything that would last, it would have to be natural, and even natural things will dissolve over time, just like stone and so forth. Through erosion and so forth, it will dissolve itself away. But it will actually, it will, if nothing is there to give it its form, it will dissolve itself.
Okay.
So the ancients talked about when they went through these magnetic reversals and so forth, understand that the magnetics has been altered, and it's like a hard drive. If you erase a hard drive, the information is gone, and you have nothing to hold anything together. So I think at this point, it's one of the reasons why we don't have, let's say, an aircraft or something, let's say from 50, 60,000 years ago that they had, because the thought itself and the physical aspects of that is gone. And it actually dissolved back into, into natural matters. Now, I was reading somewhere where what happens when you go through this shift, it's like bridges or any kind of man-made structures, unnatural structures, would actually disintegrate. The molecules would just break down and fall to the ground. And that's what will happen to anything that we hold together, or thought forms that we've held together from now, or let's say for the last 10,000 years.
Well,
so,
following along that train of thought then, would that be, could you make the jump as to that's the reason why these very, very ancient cultures left their writings in stone?
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Hmm.
And see, that's only one way of passing on knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other way is through through person-to-person contact. But
right.
It's through that person-to-person contact that you're able to record that from an emotional level, from an emotional experience.
Okay.
So
now, under the...
Let me jump back here. So understanding these crystals... What you're actually doing is that you're getting an emotional experience or an emotional replay of what was experienced during those times, not just recorded, you know, on the computer or whatever.
Right.
But you have a personal witness to these events or to these happenings. And that's the other way knowledge is passed on. So that's what we're going to be receiving, a direct witness to the last 13,000 years, what we've experienced, where we've come from, and where we're going.
That sounds
and
great.
All this time, this ending time that we're talking about now, is actually the ending of that journey that we've all been on. Where we meet at the point of where we started, but it's also the point of where we're going to. And anything connected with this third dimensional reality will be jumped up, will rise above that and release this hold or this connection or our associations with it. In order
yeah.
for us to continue on without being held back by, you know, the strings that, let's say, a third dimensional will bring us back to.
Okay, now talking about crystals,
yes.
I just wanted to ask if that's what the Mayans did down in South America. Did they have the crystal skulls?
Yes.
And they activated those?
No. The skulls, they don't have them. They don't have them now. They probably have knowledge where they are, but there's different people throughout the world who have these skulls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know, I wasn't aware that they have 13 of them, but apparently they do have 13, and apparently they have the complete set.
So, are these people using these crystal skulls? Do you know?
No, I don't think they're using them. They're just caretakers of them. I've seen two of them. In fact, I have some materials on two of them. One, I believe, was Max, and he was held down by a person in Texas. And, no, they were just holders of these crystals. But this ceremony, when the ceremony takes place, they'll all be, they're all coming together in one place.
And the then what will happen during that ceremony?
The ceremony
know?
Will be performed, and the host for the knowledge and for the entities in the crystals will be picked and ready for them to be received. And we'll see. But
you know when that's supposed to happen?
Excuse me?
When is that supposed to happen?
It's supposed to happen soon.
Oh,
and I don't know. My impression was that it's going to happen within the next several months or so forth. And I'm just thinking it could be during the sixth night, which we're going to be entered into in November. I don't know.
Do you know where that's going to take place, George?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'd have to get more information on that.
I was just curious.
Well, where is the? I mean, what's going to come out of this? Somebody's going to have all this information now about the last 13,000 years, some Mayan shaman.
That's right. Well, they'll have the knowledge from the last 13,000 years.
But that's going to be revealed now.
Yes. Well, no. First of all, they got to tap into that, and once they bring them together, then they'll be able to answer the questions that they have.
Right.
See, you have to bring this out first, Leo. you have to release the information from the crystals.
Right.
And once you get the information, then you can decipher.
How is that information going to be released, though? Through individuals? I mean, is it going to be
through individuals, Leo.
So one guy's 13 guys are going to know everything about the last 13,000 years.
Well, there are witnesses to the knowledge of the last 13,000 years. Instead of going to your local Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, you have these people instead telling you.
Right.
So, you know, it was another way information is transversed to future generations.
Right.
And that's through writing and so forth, the physical means.
But this stuff has never been released before.
No.
Right. It's the first time.
Yeah, no.
And
this is the first time that the Mayan elders have talked openly about the Mayan predictions of 2012.
I see.
So this is just something that started within this last year.
Really?
Yes.
Mm.
So it's we're at a time it started. In 2007, I believe.
Well, I'm going to go into the internet and listen to see what's said about at that meeting. I think that'd be very interesting, and I hope the people who are listening do the same thing.
Again, to repeat that, that's John Willow Melchizedek.
Melchizedek.
Melchizedek. And, YouTube. What was it again? Mayan something? Mayan?
Hold on for a second. It's the Maya of Eternal Time.
Maya of Eternal Time, okay.
Right.
And
Drumbelow Melchizedek, let me spell that for the audience out there if they need.
All right.
Drumbelow Melchizedek, Drumvalo Melchizedek.
Okay. Yeah.
And you feed that in there and, there'll be a series of videos.
Now,
that you can watch.
Yeah. So, where are we now in the timeline, George? What is it now? Is it still 68 or 72 or 73,
1973? No. We're
1968.
68. Yeah.
Okay.
Almost 69.
Fast.
Yeah. But let me just finish up with these crystals in a sense. It's just the other way, another way that we have of gaining information or knowledge, and that's from the emotional aspect, which is a unity of which is a unity consciousness.
Well, was there anybody else who stored information in crystals, or any other culture, or any other
other than the Mayans?
Yeah,
the Mayans, or the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the Atlantarians, of course. And, of course, the aliens, too. crystals are unique things. They really are.
So our culture was late to this technology, that's all. Because we're storing information in crystals on computers.
Yeah.
And we've only been doing it for 40 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, but understand that, the technology from years ago, I mean, it took thousands of years for them to develop this stuff with the crystal technology.
Right.
But take a look at where we've come from, let's say, in the last 250 years with this technology. Hell, we've gone to the moon and back, well, supposedly.
That's what they tell us, right?
So, understand that we not only picked up on this crystal technology thing, but we've implemented it into our lives, and now we're integrating crystals into our bodies with nanotechnology. I mean, understand that we've come a long ways in 250 years, our evolution. But crystal is just the base of this paradigm that we live in, that we've been exposed to. And you were going back to 1755, I think, with communication and the changes that we made, where we actually went outside of ourselves and used crystals in communicating. And in 1980s, when I was looking in the UFO field, one thing that caught my attention was part of these abductees' experiences were aliens with some kind of crystals that they use. And with these crystals, they could amplify and modulate them and walk through walls. So years ago, I read information about the ancient Atlanteans, how they used crystals, and they were able to do things like this. And, of course, they went far and above beyond that.
Yeah.
But the Egyptians used it, you know, for mind control. And actually, they had the knowledge of electromagnetics where they can actually, they were able to control people, control your thinking, the same thing that we do now. We have this technology, and it's just modulating crystals and energies. And yeah. So we've come a long ways in 250 years, but yet we've tapped into something that crystals the world around us, I think 70% of the inherent earth is silicone. So you tell me.
So we should be using it, huh?
Yeah, well.
And who knows what's stored in that? I mean, I don't know. Boy.
Well,
all of these things are based on information either that's been passed down or that people have researched.
Yes.
So it won't take us very long and we'll know what's true and what isn't.
Well, I don't think it's through a polarity consciousness that we have to verify or validate something in order for it to be fully expressed. But in a unity consciousness, where both sides are just as equal and powerful, you know, good or bad.
Right.
And I've been talking about this for a while now. So, you know, it's that polarity consciousness where you actually are caught with half the bag.
Yeah, I don't really think it matters very much whether it's true or not, because something's going to happen soon anyway.
Yes, but you have to acknowledge it, that there is a good and there is a bad to it. So they're both as equal. They both have equal standings. So
mm-hmm.
it's not qualifying them, you know, as if they're, you know, if they're right or wrong. It's accepting them that they are there. And some say it's right, some say it's wrong, but acknowledging it and going on with it, instead of being being used by it or having that as another rabbit hole that you have to go around in order to get to your get to where you want to go.
That's right. You don't want to obsess on that. You want to move on.
Well, yes, but you know, sometimes you know, we come to a point where we feel guilty because we can't do that because it doesn't follow logic. If something is there in front of you, you know, you have to confront it instead of walking around it. What I do is acknowledge them both, and I'll go another way. Anyways,
it works for you, right?
Whatever, yeah.
Excuse me. Both Leo and I have a bit of a cough, and Leo had to—he's back now. He had to go down and get some cough drops. Otherwise, we'd be blowing everybody out of the show because
doing,
we have such a horrible hack.
Anyway, so I guess that's where we're at, and we're just gonna wait till November now, and between now and then,
a lot of things could happen between now and November, so you know, I'm still looking at the sixth day, because the sixth day is not over until, you know, the fat lady sings.
Well, I think I'm looking at real resistance right now, political resistance to a lot of things, and you're seeing this happening more and more and more in far more A lot of people are in a lot of fear, a lot of jobs are being lost, money, everything we know, basically, people are holding on to, is falling and failing. And
but people try to hold on to what they know.
They hold on to what they know, and unfortunately, that may not be around anymore. So I think we're all going to be looking at in the next year or two at some at just not knowing anymore. It's just going to be a whole new world that we're just going to all be walking aimlessly in for a while until we get our bearings. Yeah.
Leo, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for months to come. Take a look at it now. It's different. Everything is different.
But I think we're on training wheels right now. I mean, and I think we're going to be on training wheels for at least another year. And then when the bottom drops out of everything and all the changes happen, I mean, then maybe we'll be able to fly. But right now I see it everywhere, I see the changes happening and the fear, and you see it in the political arena as well.
I don't think that fear is. We have time to months to work with us.
Well, what I'm saying is, I don't think people really understand what the hell is going on enough to do anything to stop it. All right. Their big plan is just to throw more money at it.
Well, how can you stop it?
The money is the whole idea of the money is becoming obsolete as well. It's just not going to work the same way. It's not going to. It doesn't have the value it had, or it doesn't have the presence that it had.
What do you do now, Leo? What do you do now? If this is what's going to happen, and you're predicting it's going to happen, what do you do now?
Well, let's look at it this way. Let's say you're working in a machine. You're working at Pratt & Whitney today, and then yesterday, and all of a sudden you got your pink slip, and now they're closing down the entire factory and moving it to Sing Sing or China or someplace, right? So it's like you're never going to have that job again, making 40, 50 bucks an hour or 35 bucks an hour, making airplane parts. And that, what do you do now? What do they do now? I mean, I don't know. It's like the end of their world. I mean, it's the end of their world. Okay? It's the end of their reality. It's a whole new reality, a whole new ballgame.
But Leo... I don't know
what are they going to do. I mean, I know what I would do, but I don't know what anybody else will do. I would just say wow.
Now, Leo, you're dealing, you're describing people who've been experiencing this for the last year and a half, who lost their jobs, and they can't find, of course, a job to replace the income that they were making before, and if they could find anything, it would be on a part-time basis. And yet, even that is not enough. I mean,
he's saying, what do you do? I don't know. I mean, what do you do? I mean, you have to face whatever it is, and try to create something better.
Well, yes, it's not try to create something better, because there's options available, and it's a matter of putting into motion those options that you have that you
can
use.
See, George, the whole thing is, you can't use the same measuring stick or the same rules or the same laws even, because I don't think they're going to work anymore. I don't think those things that you held dear and near to your heart, will no longer be of any value at all to you, because they other than to hold you prisoner to your old ways. It's kind of like right now, like the Republicans are the party of no. I mean, they're not making absolutely no innovations toward anything. They're just scared to death to go ahead and say anything or do anything or create anything other, because they do not know anything else but what they've always known, and that's, you know, money and, you know...
Leo, that's them, but the people themselves, you know, they have their own life. They have their own...
That represents a certain percentage of the people. And those people that are status quo and those people that see the need to move forward. Mm. And I think you're always going to be faced with that. Even when things are most obvious, okay, you can have a person who insists on staying where they are. And just like the guy in a flood zone or hurricane, he sees the storm, but he says, "Nah, I'm going to be here." And then, you know, 5 minutes later, the tidal wave comes and wipes him out, and he's gone.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's
more like the bird trying to leave the nest. You know, that the mother bird has to kick some of them out because they won't leave because they're afraid.
They're afraid. They got to be kicked out. Right? They got to move
on. And those that don't die.
Yeah, they perish. And so
it leaves us with a lot to think about.
That's a cycle of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only constant in the world is change. You know, and that's it. So you got to face the change daily and work with it. Somehow.
Yes, but you know the change, Leo, can come from within just as easy as it can come from without. And we've talked about this. You know, you are creating your own illusion, your own reality. So it's what you think which draws that reality to you.
But others are creating it as well, all right? I mean,
if you let them, sure.
Yeah,
if
you don't create your own, believe me, somebody will create one for you. And
you create it yourself.
The illusion that they're, you know, you're told this is the way it is, and the rest of your life you go, this is the way it is. This is the way I'm going to be.
It's because you believe that.
You know, and that's it. I'll be a good boy, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. All right, but the reality is that you're forever. If you do that, you're forever under the control of that person or that system that created it. And you know, you'll never think out of the box. You'll never create your own reality. You know.
Well, that's like I said. You're the one that attaches yourselves to that. So
that's right.
You know.
But you know. Yeah. Again,
that starts very early.
Yeah, I mean, you're trained that way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're lucky if you're after 60 or 70 years of life, after 50 years of life, that you can possibly think for yourself. All right,
mm-hmm.
Because you've had everybody thinking for you all these years.
And most people don't. They just turn on the television, and that's where they get their thoughts.
They don't want to think at all. So it's like, you know, I have a problem with that, knowing that most people are thinking.
Not everybody thinks like you or has the same interest. It's just like people have the right to become couch potatoes and watch TV and enjoy it. I mean, understand that they create that for themselves. Just like just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's bad.
No, but what I'm trying to tell you is that if you...
They don't know that it's bad, George.
Well, wait a minute. It's bad from your perspective. But from their perspective, it's not bad.
Well, from their perspective, you know, they're 450 pounds, you know.
That isn't the point,
you know. From their perspective, they got about a 5 days to live because they can't breathe. And they can't get off the couch. You know, their lifestyle has created this this death. And
that's okay, Leo.
Yeah, I guess it's okay. Who cares?
Well,
who the hell cares, George? I don't care if they're 800 pounds. Let them be 800 pounds.
That's not the point. The point that I was trying to make was not that at all. The point that I was thinking about is, and this is what the elite has accomplished in this country, is that the people don't have a choice. They've been so brainwashed that they never come to the point to think about that they have the choice to create their own reality. The reality has been created for them by years of brainwashing, George.
That's right. Yeah, it's one big illusion.
So they,
keep buying McDonald's hamburgers.
Excuse me, Leo, I'm not finished. So that they're not free. They're imprisoned by this brainwashing mentality of the elite or whatever you want to call these people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they don't have the freedom to create reality for themselves. And they don't have that experience, which is very sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad. So from that point of view, you have a compassion, or you have some compassion for their thinking. That doesn't make it right in your book, but at least you could understand that, you know, you could have some compassion for what they're doing.
I feel very sad about it, and I also feel sad about it. It took me a long time to figure it out. Because
mm-hmm.
I was a victim, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying that I wasn't. I was.
Well,
and
still
and, I, and I still am, probably, in a lot of ways, because you can't escape it.
There you go. Him without sin cast the first stone, right?
Oh,
right. Oh, absolutely. I feel that.
But the whole idea.
So that's my point. If anything, in anything, you can find compassion or find some middle ground. So
but,
once you find a middle ground, you
right.
actually you break away from that polarity consciousness, understanding of good and bad and so forth, and
mm-hmm.
accept it for what it is, and see the unity in it. Experience the unity, and the unity can be experienced through the heart.
And understand
and
the value of redemption.
And I think that actually more people are beginning to wake up from the brainwashing that they've had.
Without a doubt.
And
well, I just read an article last night, or Wednesday night, I think it was, 27,000 people are on antipsychotic drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And 27 million, rather, just in the United States alone.
Yeah.
27 million.
And, of course, that's gone up exponentially as they have advertised
Zoloft and
all kinds of antidepressants and Seroquel
right.
through the media. And that's how Big Pharma is selling all these destructive medications to people.
Yeah.
You know, through actual, you know, they're really brainwashing them to think they need it.
It's a racket, but you know what? It's a falling empire along with the medical industry and the financial industry. It's a catch-catch-can operation there, so just watch
it
fall.
But in the meantime, a lot of people are getting hurt as a result.
That's right.
It's very sad.
I look to the future, and I really feel that it's only a matter of time before they'll be able to tap in with electricity and using these crystals in healing people.
That'd
and
be wonderful, George.
We have the technology, but it's a matter of implementing it.
I wish we would. That'd be a wonderful thing. I would
sure.
so much like to be a part of something like that, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to heal people in that way, so easy and without side effects, and people get well right away. That would just be so wonderful, I think.
Well, you see, you could do that now, Alola. You could do that now.
They call it
healing, prayer.
If I knew what to do, I would.
Well, it's very simple, healing or prayer. It's just a kind thought toward whatever you're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be elaborate, but it's to your thoughts that you can change things, or you can affect things outside of you, including illnesses or people. I mean, you affect people by just a smile on your face.
Absolutely. Doesn't that affect you when the first thing in the day, or you run into someone and they smile and they say something nice to you?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't that sort of brighten everything about your day?
Without a doubt. see, that's the difference from living from the heart or living from the brain. And this living brain, this polarity brain thinking, we've been locked in for the last 13,000 years. We really haven't been able to expose our true emotional self to what we want instead of what we're told we need. So it's at a time now where we don't need external things to make us happy. All we have to do is look inside ourselves, and we could find the happiness.
Well,
I think we
might end the show here. It's about 20 after.
It's a good positive show.
So, but we want to thank you, George, for being with us tonight. And, you know, you brought up a lot of good stuff. And we'll wish you well, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Talk to you soon, George.
All right, thank you. God be with you, folks.
And you too. Good night.
Good night now.
Yep.